from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, why is the secular media so fascinated with nuns who break away from the Vatican? Janetta Mello talks with Register correspondent Ann Carey. She'll set the record straight. No nonsense. And also centering prayer. It's just prayer, right? Wrong. Dan Burke's guest, Sharon Lee Giganti, debunks the myth. Get your facts right. Welcome to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price, who is away on special assignment. We appreciate your prayers for his safe and productive travels. Our two interviewers this week are our two usual suspects. The executive director of the National Catholic Register, Dan Burke, will conduct his interview later on the second half of the show. Janetta Mello will lead our first interview, coming right up. She is the editor-in-chief of the Register. Dan and Janette, thank you both for joining us. Our first guest is one of our writers at the National Catholic Register, Ann Carey. For many years, she has written investigative news stories about Catholic women religious, and she has recently published an update to her book, Sisters in Crisis. She'll talk to us about why nuns who break away from the Vatican make headlines, while nuns who are faithful never get on the news. Ann Carey, it is good to have you here with us again on Register Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Janette?
Ann, you wrote a blog this week on the Register's website, and it is another part of your coverage of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, your coverage of Religious Sisters at the Register site. Your blog this week talked about the secular media's fascination with certain kinds of nuns. Would you share with us what the latest media buzz is on women religious?
Sure. It seems that the current media narrative is being spun right now that Catholic sisters have updated themselves, according to Vatican II, and are simply going about their business doing good work. And in the meantime, the mean old men in the Vatican have not updated, so they say.
Right.
And so those men are attacking the sisters. You know, I think it all goes back to the gender wars and the claim that the all-male hierarchy is oppressing women and, you know, oppressing sisters. That's one of the reasons that I've blogged on these topics, is to try to correct these incorrect perceptions that are out there.
Right. And some of these secular media, I mean, you mentioned Time Magazine, Huffington Post, U.S. News and World Report, and of course there are other Catholic newspapers or media outlets that have also covered this narrative, as you say, of the Vatican versus the sisters. And it seems like there are a number of reasons why these nuns get so much publicity from these types of news outlets. What do you make out of it? Why do they get reported on by places like Huffington Post?
Well, you know, when I taught journalism, I always told my students about the old journalism adage that when a dog bites a man, it's not news, but when a man bites a dog, that really is news. So I think the media are looking for sensational stories, and the stories about sisters who get along with the Vatican are not considered very newsworthy, but stories about sisters who are disagreeing with the Vatican are, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's more to it than that. The mainstream media seem to have bought into the values of the secular culture. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, the Catholic Church is the most significant entity that has been defending traditional values of family, respect for human life, religious freedom, etc. Mm-hmm. So as I said in my blog, the media has been acting as a cheerleader for those who would like to see those Catholic values and teachings watered down or discarded so that the secular cultural values will prevail. So you know, it really makes me proud. I mean, I'm always proud to be a Catholic, but it makes me proud to realize that the Church is the major player that's standing up against some of these this breakdown in our culture.
That's right. This is Janetta Mello speaking with Register writer Ann Carey about the LCWR and women religious. Now, Ann, one of the reasons why these secular outlets have been writing about the LCWR and certain nuns is because of what Cardinal Mueller, who is the head of the Congregation for Doctrine of the Faith, recently said in an L'Osservatore Romano interview. Can you tell us a little bit about what he said about religious nuns in that piece?
Sure. First, though, I just like to back up a little bit, just kind of set the background for that particular interview. The press has focused on Cardinal Mueller as the bad guy at the Vatican ever since April, when the LCWR leaders visited the Vatican, and his opening remarks to them were made public. And he was quite direct in telling them that they had not cooperated with the reform that had been ordered over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that the sisters had taken some recent actions that were seen as a provocation against the Holy See and the U.S. bishops. Mm-hmm. So he'd kind of been, he's been attacked and oppressed quite a bit ever since then. So the latest thing, the brouhaha that came in early September when he gave an interview to the Vatican newspaper, he was asked about the ongoing doctrinal reform of the leadership conference. And he alluded to the gender wars that I just mentioned.
Right.
And he explained that the CDF action was taken out of concern for sisters, not because the hierarchy are misogynists, mm-hmm. which people have been saying about him ever since April. Mm-hmm. And then he made a kind of a joking comment that really grabbed the headlines when he said something to the effect of, "We don't gobble up a woman a day." Well,
right.
maybe that was not translated properly. I don't know. Certainly wasn't the most artful way to make that
right.
point. But the media failed to see the humor in that comment, and then the feeding frenzy just went on
right.
about that particular comment, ignoring, of course, the basic issues and the real content.
Right. You know, you mentioned actually in your blog post something that Cardinal Mueller also touched upon in that L'Osservatore Romano piece, and this is something that I would call a myth that the secular media has perpetuated. This is a very large group of sisters who are hunted down, I guess, by the Vatican, as some media narratives would have it. But really, that's not the case. Can you set the record straight on that? How many sisters are we talking about here?
Right. Well, we want to talk about just the LCWR. Let's realize that this is a membership group that is made up of about, I think the most recent number was 1,369 or 93 mm-hmm. or something. Anyway, it's just under 1,400 sisters. And yet the media and sometimes the LCWR is quite fond of saying that it represents 50,000 sisters in the United States, whereas in reality it only represents those 1,400 sisters.
Right.
Now, those sisters are on leadership teams in their various orders, and those various orders contain maybe 80% of all women religious in the country, approximately 40,000 out of the total 50,000.
Okay.
But those sisters don't have any voice, they don't have any vote in LCWR. So basically, LCWR speaks only for its 1,400 members. And sometimes they even question whether it always speaks for its members, too. Mm-hmm. I covered its 2012 meeting for the Register, and we asked them about a conclusion that had allegedly been drawn by the members what the vote was. And they
yeah.
said, "Oh, we never vote on these things. We come to a consensus."
Oh, wow.
And I've been in groups where a so-called consensus has been formed that people really didn't have a lot of input into. So I also right. wonder how well they represent their membership.
Right, right. And I know that you have heard from members that say they aren't represented very well. And Cardinal Mueller also said the same thing. We have an article by Judy Roberts on our website that was finished this week. And it's about Cardinal Mueller's L'Osservatore Romano remarks. And she quotes him saying that we have received many distressing letters from religious women belonging to the same congregations, meaning those congregations mm-hmm. of the LCWR, and that those letters say that they don't agree and that their voice is not being heard. So I do think it's very important for the Register, and this is part of your work, Anne, to get out there and to say what the voice is of these religious women who are not being represented very well by their leadership. And what is it that these women care about, Anne?
Well, I think many of them want people to know that they are very dedicated to the church, that they don't have any argument with the church whatsoever. The main reason they're in religious life is that they are consecrated to Jesus Christ and want to follow him in a very mm-hmm. profound way, and that's why they take the three vows. And they want people to know that they love the church and they are very supportive of the hierarchy, and that these people who are always complaining do not speak for them. I mean, I know the Cardinal must have gotten letters because I get letters from people
right.
telling me how disturbed they are about what's going on. And when ever anyone does tell me this, I suggest that they write the Vatican. So I know he's been getting letters.
That's right. You know, another myth, I think, that has been perpetuated by the secular media is that the reason the Vatican is cracking down, so they say, on the nuns is because they don't speak up on abortion or against same-sex marriage or things like that. But that's not really the case. Can you just, in a very short summary, describe why the Vatican has been asking the LCWR to change its ways?
Yeah, that's kind of the go-to narrative of most stories on the topic. And when I was talking to someone from another paper not too long ago, I asked them where they got that quote, and they couldn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you actually bothered to read the mandate, you'd see that there were some very specific key doctrinal problems Some of them were mentioned were distorting faith in Jesus and the way he structured the sacramental life of the church, undermining revealed doctrines of the Holy Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the inspiration of the sacred scripture. So I don't know whether it's just laziness that the reporters aren't actually reading the mandate, or whether it's just part of this narrative, as I say, that they're trying to perpetuate.
Right. And, of course, our readers can look at what you have written at the Register, on your blog, and in other places to find out exactly what the Congregation for Doctrine of Faith has been asking the sisters. I think it's important that we know the truth of the matter, set the record straight, and, of course, also support those nuns who are doing good work. But we really do need to be aware that you know, some of these sisters are promoting things that just are contrary to what our bishops have been asking us to pay attention to as Catholics, active Catholics in the U.S. Just this week, for example, Joan Desmond wrote a story about a nonpartisan group, the Government Accountability Office, issuing a report that shows that the bishops and others in the pro-life community were right about Obamacare, about the Affordable Health Care Act, allowing abortion to be subsidized with taxpayer dollars. So, and of course, there were certain members of the LCWR who came out in strong support of the Obama Health Care, despite the bishop's warnings. So, you know, here we are seeing that our church, our leadership in the church, has really had words of wisdom that we should heed, and at times it's been taken for granted, even by religious members of the church. So there's a lot to learn here. But Anne, we're not all about the negative part of religious sisters. We really want to lift up those who are doing good work. We just have just a couple seconds left, but we have a year of religious life coming up, a year of consecrated life in November. What do you hope to see brought up, lifted up, encouraged during this year?
Well, first of all, I think it would be very helpful to the laity if they could see that what's really important about the religious person is who that person is, that is a follower, a person consecrated to Jesus, and less emphasis on the work. Although certainly the works of sisters are wonderful, but instead of the publicity given to the sisters who are doing, as I say, the man bites dog thing, give some publicity to these people who I think are sensational in themselves, for the wonderful things that they're doing, because there are many more sisters doing wonderful work and being faithful to the church than those who have been getting the publicity.
That's right.
So it would be really neat if we could get some stories out there about the wonderful men and women and religious who are going about their work and lifting up the church and lifting up the people of God.
Well, I sure hope that you can help the Register do that. The Year of Consecrated Life starts at the end of November, and we hope to collaborate with you in covering the great works of so many women religious, women and men religious. Anne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Anne. Anne Carey has been writing a blog titled, get this, Nonsense from the Major Media, available at ncregister.com. When we return, you may have heard Centering Prayer is coming to a parish near you. Should Centering Prayer raise any flags? We will empower you with the facts. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, Provider and Protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price, who is away on special assignment. Please pray for his safe and productive travels. The Register's Executive Director, Dan Burke, will conduct our next interview. You may have friends who are inviting you to try Centering Prayer, and it seems like it's just a new way of praying, so no big deal. After you hear today's Register Radio segment, you will be able to spot serious warning signs and help others, too. Our next guest is Sharon Lee Giganti, a former Miss San Diego and runner-up to Miss California. She left Hollywood to pursue a quote-unquote higher purpose guided by a channeled spirit. Sharon realized the New Age movement was deceptive, and her search for truth finally led her to our Lord Jesus Christ. She researched the facts, and she now warns others so they won't commit the same mistakes she did. In the next few minutes, she will show us why centering prayer is the conception of yet another deception. Sharon Lee Giganti, welcome to Register Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Dan?
Sharon, it's great to have you here to talk about something that you've been working on for probably a decade now.
Yes.
It's a serious issue in the church, and that is this phenomenon of centering prayer, false prayer practices, and the theology that surrounds it. It's done a lot of damage to the church, a lot of damage to those who are seeking to authentically deepen their relationship with Christ or sincerely deepen their relationship with Christ. But before we dive into specifics about what are the problems with centering prayer and the movement and different aspects of the movement, tell us a bit about what centering prayer is exactly.
Well, they claim that it's a method of silent prayer that can help to prepare you, they say, for the gift of contemplation. And the guidelines are so simple, they'll basically say how you do centering prayer is to sit quietly, you can close your eyes quietly, and they'll say whenever a thought arises as you're just resting in the presence of God, and you sit with the intention, they say, of just wanting to rest in God's presence. If a thought arises, they'll say you simply don't get engaged with it, just simply turn from the thought and return to your sacred word. They'll give you a word to repeat. And the word is there for you, they say, so that if you do get attracted to thinking and thoughts, then it's like an anchor, they'll say, to bring you away from the thought and back to your sacred word. So I think they feel that by doing this kind of, and they call it letting go of thoughts. Thoughts will come, they say, but you just let them go and return to your sacred word. I think they feel that by bypassing the thinking process, you're going to come into some kind of union with God through, it seems, an altered state of consciousness, because you're bypassing the thinking process. But they really won't describe it that way. They don't say we're seeking an altered state of consciousness, but it amounts to the same thing. And the problem that I see here is instead of saying, if a thought should come, return to your sacred word, the problem is they say all thoughts. You are not to engage in any thought. So as you're sitting in the presence of God and wanting to come into union with Him, if you should have some kind of an idea or a vision or you feel that God has impressed something upon your heart or mind, you are to turn from that. You're to turn from all thoughts.
Well, in fact, both of us have attended centering prayer retreats and workshops and things like that. And I did that here in Birmingham not too long ago. Just as part of our research together on this,
yes,
on a project that we'll talk about in the future. But basically, I asked the question during the program because, the claim is you're to get closer to God.
And yes.
So I said, so that's great. That's a good intention. What if God engages with me during prayer?
Yes.
And I was told to let it go, meaning if God shows up, the implications are very clear. If God shows up and attempts to communicate with me, I'm to push Him away, let it go. I got the
yes,
hand signals are almost, from the instructor, like pushing away.
When they describe it.
Right, is let it go. And this is, of course, not in any way reflective of Christian concept of prayer, a communion of persons who are interacting, listening, speaking as persons would, even though one person is perfect, separate God, creator.
Yeah. And a spirit, so it's perhaps not visible.
Right.
But, a lot of people who understand the problems of this supposed prayer method, they have said it feels like putting God on hold. I have to return to my sacred word. In one of the sessions I attended, and I found there are a couple centering prayer commissioners. They call themselves commissioned presenters of the prayer method. They like to repeat the story, they say, that Father Keating tells, and they kind of chuckle.
Father Keating is Father Thomas Keating.
Yes.
the grand poobah of centering prayer.
Absolutely, yes. He founded Contemplative Outreach, which he uses as a vehicle to go
spread
into parishes and have commissioned presenters teach centering prayer. Well, they like to repeat this little story that they say he tells, that when you're in centering prayer, if Jesus himself were to come down on a cloud and appear to you in all his glory, turn ever so gently back to your sacred word.
This is Dan Burke with Registered Radio, and I'm here with Sharon Lee Giganti, who is a renowned author, speaker, expert on the New Age movement on centering prayer. Her website is newagedeception.com to learn more. But Sharon, so we get a little sense of what centering prayer is.
Yes.
A lot of the common claims made in these groups and in the myriad of books that we've both explored is that it is in keeping with the tradition in particular of St. Teresa of Avila and that sort of thing. What's interesting is during St. Teresa of Avila's time, she was challenged by a group that said, well, you should do something like what's taught in centering prayer, which is that you should let thoughts go, or you should not
yes.
be. And she was vehemently against it.
Yes.
Adamantly against it. She conferred with the writings of St. Peter of Alcantara, who was her spiritual director, and she relates in the Interior Castles that he agrees with her, not with them.
Exactly. I mean, she had already battled this.
Right. So it's just an old problem resurfacing.
Yes.
Well-intended, I think, to help people grow deeper
yes.
in the spiritual life, but misguided in so many ways with respect to proper theology and understanding of God, proper anthropology. But let's turn a corner here and talk a little bit about Contemplative Outreach. And I think there's some scary things happening with this organization.
Yes.
You know, the initial workshops, which we've both been to, are very orthodox in their initial presentation. But in both of our experience, once you get invited to the next level,
yeah.
into the next door, you begin to hear things that are much more divergent from church teaching. So there's this outer veneer of faithfulness that hides really a dark secret, which is that there's no real mooring in church tradition the way we would we see it. So talk to us a little bit about what goes on in the second and third layers of
right. And see, this is something I've been tackling since I first started investigating the whole topic of centering prayer, contemplative outreach, and the centering prayer movement. Usually I get questions, what is wrong with centering prayer? You know, how is centering prayer wrong? And as soon as I help them understand that as the prayer method itself is problematic, this group, Contemplative Outreach, that will come into your parish to attempt to teach you centering prayer is a much bigger concern. Because like you said, this organization, Contemplative Outreach, was founded by Father Thomas Keating so that it could be a resource center and a support place and a place where commissioned trainers will come teach you centering prayer. But what happens when you, and I've gone through their 6-week program and have attended several of their events in my research.
And you've interviewed a number of their key.
Of their key leaders. And what winds up happening is that in their resource books, in their leaflets, on their website, their links, and their newsletters, it's the spirituality that they're forwarding that is the real issue.
So let's talk about a concrete example.
Yes.
And the workshop you attended on Julian of Norwich with Father Menninger, who is a mainstay with Contemplative
yes.
Outreach, who was sponsored to bring him in to speak.
Yes, he was one of the three architects of the centering prayer method. Those three would be Father Menninger, Father Thomas Keating, and Father Basil Pennington. And so because he's one of the original architects of centering prayer and its movement, they were so excited to have him come talk with us. And he has given talks for decades through Contemplative Outreach. Unfortunately, usually he's teaching Enneagram classes and still does here and there. But in this time, he was giving a talk on Julian of Norwich. And so I went just to hear what I might hear from Father Menninger. And sure enough, even though the topic was this mystic known as Julian of Norwich, he wound up throughout the 3-hour presentation, and there were breaks, he would assert spiritual assertions that were very far from Catholic truth.
So give me a list of key.
Oh, he said things like, God does not condemn. If God is love, then God is not a judge. And he repeated many times, God is not a judge. He said, there will be no last judgment. And he even said in his talk, I used to preach the judgment. I'm ashamed of it. And he said, God does not punish sin. There's no devil. He said, there's no prince of demons. That's a personification of evil. No such being exists.
And basically said, that's foolishness.
Oh, yes. He said, his exact words were, that's mythology. The devil is mythology. And he said, drop all of that. He said things like, God cannot change because God is change. Uh-huh. So when I approached him personally and said, you know, I hear you saying God is not a judge, but in our creed, every Sunday we say Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And right away he said, that is a very literal interpretation of the Bible. He says the literal interpretation does not honor God. He said there will be no last judgment. He said at the last judgment, God will appear to everyone in his glory to such a degree that no one will ever not choose God.
So and he's universalist.
This has become universalism.
Yeah. And, you know, I knew this would happen, that we would want to cover so much more than we have time to cover. But you've done a great job. We're very excited about a project you're working on coming up in the future that will bring you back and dig a little deeper into these things and explore them more fully.
Yes.
Tell our listeners where they can find out more about your work, and you even have a guide for dealing with centering prayer in a parish.
Oh, yes. My website is called newagedeception.com, and we've got lots of free resources there. And one of the free resources is a document entitled Seven Reasons Why the Errors of the Centering Prayer Movement Should Not Be in Your Parish.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for fighting this battle. It's so important. We do want people to pray. We don't want to condemn others in the church, but when false teachings are promulgated as true, and they do spiritual damage, we have to tell the truth and help people to escape these things and run to the good, which is found
right
in the spiritual doctrines of the church and the catechism and the great riches of our spiritual patrimony. So thanks again, Sharon,
right,
and God bless you in all you're doing.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Likewise, thank you. And that website Sharon Lee Giganti referenced is newagedeception.com. That again is newagedeception.com. Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen or also to download the show. On behalf of Dan Burke, Jeanette DeMello, Tom Price, Ann Carey, Sharon Lee Giganti, and all of us here at the Register and EWTN Radio, thank you for joining us. This is Elena Rodriguez, and we will meet again next week for more of Register Radio.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.